Matt Dillmore here in West Hollywood, California for the holidays. It's December 2014. The keynote guest is the one and the only Mr. Dennis Woodruff. Dennis, thank you so much for doing this. I say the one and only because you really do occupy a unique place here in the LA landscape.
Thank you very much. It's nice to do your show. I'm glad to talk to everybody and clear up a few misconceptions they may have about me. Sometimes people say, well, what do you do for a living? And I say it's written all over my car.
Describe it for those who may be listening abroad or what have you that just aren't familiar with what we're talking about.
Well, I believe that it's kind of like an art car. I've been making art cars for years with my message to the world and to the Hollywood community is buy my movies, check out my websites, Google my name, buy my movies. I've been selling them out of the trunk of my car for many years. And my message is to pull up and say, oh, this is Dennis Woodruff, as well as to look for parts in movies and TV shows, have casting directors, producers, and directors pull me over and ask me to come in to try out for their movies, as well as to get my name out there, Dennis Woodruff. Who is Dennis Woodruff? He's a name, he's a celebrity, and he's in show business. And that's a ground, simple way that I thought many, 20 years ago, I made my first art car.
So many of the people that we've had the privilege to interview over the years on Pussyfoot are self-taught artists, and they are inspired in a way that there's an engine inside of them that's self-motivating. Does that apply to you? And if so, how so?
The engine is the life force, and I don't like lazy people. And I have a mission is to make a living making my art and showing the world and making an impact on the cinema, independent films, my acting ability, and to have a fruitful life. And I want to share my art with the world.
What do you say to the people that go, this is the floodgates have opened. The playing field's totally level now with 5Ds, 7Ds, Final Cut Pro on every computer. The internet, basically you need an Ethernet connection and then your film, your art, what have you, can go out there into the world. Is that empowering or does that present a new set of problems to someone like Dennis Woodruff?
No, if you turn around and you look over your shoulder, you see I have a Adobe Premiere editing bay. I have my duplicators. I have 6 cameras set up. I have 150 websites. I have my own website. I'm on Google. It doesn't present a problem, but I have over 400 videos on YouTube if you search mm-hmm. Dennis Woodruff. If you take the time, I have an awesome amount of I'm making cartoons. I'm making a project called Save the Animals of the World. Mm-hmm. I'm making a cartoon, but I have an ad on Kickstarter. I think all this helps. However, the focus needs to be around getting distributors to market independent films, and also you people that buy them and want to see them. Hey, are you just going to go see big studio movies? How about mix it up?
You wear many hats in the same way that people back in almost in the silent film era were hyphenates. Do you consider your skill set unique for today, or do you feel like more and more people are actually hearkening back to the one-man band ideal?
I am unique. Vice President of Paramount and President Ron Meyer of Universal for 20 years said that I'm incredibly talented, and yet they seem to be in a position where they can't green light films. One of my films, Cold Creepy Feeling, was going to be green lighted by Paramount right after Paranormal Activity, and it's still up. And then the guy got run over by a drunk in another city at a film festival. So it was kind of, I take a hard-edged stand because, you know, you can go try it, but there was one time when I went to an office to put my movie, enter it for $75, and I saw them opening envelopes and pocketing the checks. And then later on, I went around to the back where my car was parked, and they were throwing a whole box of movies in the trash.
Yeah.
And the man said, "We don't even have time to see all these movies."
Right.
And I said, "Why don't you send them back and give them their money back?"
Yeah.
And he had a blank look on his face. So what they're doing is they're stealing filmmakers' money, and they don't even care. Sundance probably has 100,000 entries. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to look at all those movies, so it's not a fair.
So, in some ways, do you feel like there's been a bit of an unnecessary backlash against you?
I wouldn't consider it a backlash. I've never been blacklisted. I've never been kicked off a set. I've never been bad rep. There's nothing negative on the internet. There was a story that was done about me selling my movies out of my car that I gave up with the system, and it said I was blacklisted, but I wasn't. I wasn't never blacklisted.
No.
Nobody ever said, "No, you can't do this." I looked for agents, and I looked, tried to meet agents and send pictures and resumes all over, and there again, I think they just throw them in the trash. So what I wanted to do, I gave up on the system the normal way, and I started to do the old school of door-to-door sales with
right.
my movies and meeting the public and hoping to meet people who would get me in and get me going and give me the facilities to make more movies, to invest in my movies. Like, I have a movie on Kickstarter, Save the Animals of the World. Everybody said Kickstarter is the way to go. Well, there's a lot of ways to finance a movie, and I don't have rich parents.
Yeah, that's an interesting segue. I know that close to the Pussyfoot Studio is the Hollywood Hills, specifically the old Hollywood Land area. Can you tell us how deep these Woodruff rivers run here in Hollywood?
Well, if you go to the Beechwood Market on Beechwood and you buy the little book called Hollywood Land, you'll see my grandfather, S.H. Woodruff, who was the builder and the developer of Hollywood Land with two other people, but him and two other people. He was from the railroads, and he came out here with a bundle of money and bought the whole mountain and started building homes for people to come and live near the studios, kind of up in nature, up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful concept. He had a vision, and when he saw Mount Lee, he bought it, and he said, "This is it. This is what I need to do with my life. I want to build homes," and people like John Wayne and John Ford and Charlie Chaplin and Bugsy Siegel was a friend of my grandfather's, and they were all friends of his, and he was a very well-known celebrity in Hollywood and a builder of Hollywood Land. And then later they tore down the land fell down, and Mr. Hugh Hefner gave $9 million to fix the sign recently.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talked to him, he never would even give me a grant to make a movie.
Right.
Come on. You know, he did it for the press.
Yeah, yeah.
He did it for himself.
For those who want to jump into the work, the canon of Woodruff, what's a good starting point, and what's kind of a sleeper that, for even the most seasoned Woodruff fans, seek this one out?
Easily, if you go to DennisWoodruffShow.com, that's my main movie website, but that only has about 10 of my movies. I have a whole archive of about over 20 films plus some short films. Then you go to about.com. You put a .me/Dennis Woodruff, you type that in, and it brings you to the first of 16 pages. When you get to the bottom, you click About Me again, and it takes you to all the 180, 60, 70, 80 websites that I have filled with all of my imaginative projects that I've created, TV shows, movies, all kinds of stuff.
Is there something special about LA that either fosters or in some ways downplays creativity? I'm curious, with your family's history here and with the years you've spent trying to get your message and your vision out there, what your take is on a question like that?
Well, when I first arrived in Hollywood, to answer your question, pretty much, if you can visualize that 20 years ago and 25 years ago, Hollywood, LA was very bohemian, full of artists, and all these developers have moved in and building all these high rises, and Hollywood has morphed into this real materialistic, yuppie, rich mentality of people who are showing off with their money, and I meet a lot of famous artists, actors. I won't name names, but a lot of them are just about the money. Mm-hmm. And I ask you, you know, I one of them I like a lot is Robert Downey Jr., and I understand he liked me on Facebook, that he has a production company. And I would like to talk to him on the phone and see if I can get a meeting to get some of my work financed. And I also asked him if I could be in a movie. Way back when, 26 years ago, I was in Palm Springs trying to get back to L.A. And I was an extra on a movie called Less Than Zero.
Oh, yeah.
With him. And he was stoned out of his mind. But that's where I first met. And then I wrote him a letter when he was in prison, mm-hmm. and said, when you get out, change your whole pattern and associate with different types of people.
Start running with the right crowd.
Right, instead of the wrong.
So everybody's kind of jockeying for a position like that. How many of these Hollywood fools do you think you have shook? How many people are scared of Dennis Woodruff at this stage? Do they want new voices in the room?
Maybe they hear voices. I've never upset anyone.
Yeah.
Really. I guess sometimes you have to shake people up to the truth. One time when I first met Tim Burton, it was in a coffee shop, and I was talking over his shoulder, and I was so excited to see him that I think it scared him a little bit, and I handed him my movies. But, you know, sometimes the desperation of even just trying to meet someone, like David Lynch, I sent my movies to him, I sent letters, and I found out that his assistant was throwing him in the trash, unopened. So the money I spent for stamps, postage, and packaging, and all the time I spent, you know, a lot of times when you try to get something to someone, it gets thrown in the trash. And they don't, when I actually talked to David, he said, I never got your letters. I never got your packages. I never got your movies. And I said, well, everybody else at your house did. And they promised me that they would hand it to you when you came back, and they didn't. So, you know, people say in the world, we all have a voice. The animals are being punished and killed and shot. I think that's another subject, is animals are being abused and mistreated and disappearing from our planet because people are going out and shooting them, even for sport. And somebody who kills animals for sport, I consider a serial killer. They should be thrown in jail, and for the same amount. If you kill an animal, it should be the same punishment as if you kill a human being.
Yeah, and the way that you talk about animals and your documentary project as well, that's legitimate. That's heartfelt. That's not so you can put these animals on T-shirts or make them plush Beanie Babies.
Right. I had a higher calling. My dog Tuffy and my dog Tuffy too, died 2-3 months ago. And in a culmination of documentaries I've seen and things about the world and the planet, of 40% of all the animals on the planet are gone. And what's going to happen the next 60 years? Does that mean they're all going to be extinct because we either eaten them all or killed them or for sport? And the poor little animals in heaven, they are in heaven with all the people, and they're crying for their little friends and relatives down here on the planet, saying, you know, by the way, when you see a pig or a dog or a cat, don't you see a little human being with a personality that really is a loving, unconditionally loving animal, not just the ones you see on the street, but the all the shelters are full of animals, and they're going to have to put them to sleep because they have no homes. They're homeless. And you could talk about homeless people, but I want to talk about the animals of the world, helping them. The rich people go on safaris to Africa, and for thousands of dollars, they can shoot a rhino and cut his head off and bring him home and as a trophy. And there was 70,000 of these beautiful, loving animals, and now they're down to 5,000, so they're approaching extinction. This is horrible. In the end of the planet, if we don't change things, that people will end up eating each other.
A lot of times you see homeless people. No offense to anybody, obviously. But
yeah, I was homeless. But I didn't. You know, I.
Did you take on animals though? Because I'm always surprised that that's a burden for even somebody that's on their feet.
I've always taken in animals, and I've rescued many animals. In fact, when you came in my door, you had to step over a cardboard block because I have a family of possums that come here every night for their dinner, and I give them leftover. By the way, put food out for animals and cats and dogs, etc. They will come to you. I've rescued many, as well as I found dogs in dumpsters or behind in alleys or one time I found last year I found a German Shepherd on the freeway at rush hour, and he was so scared. And
really?
He almost got run over by a car, and he jumped in my car, and then I found him a home.
Wow.
And kept him here with my dog, Tuffy, and I found him a foster home.
That's amazing.
Yeah, now he has a big yard to sleep in. He was scared out of his mind. He was going to get run over by a car.
Well, Dennis, I want to say thank you so much. It really means a lot that I had the chance to meet you, learn a bit about not only your art up close, but also kind of the self-styled philosophy that guides your life. People can get proactive and don't be afraid to reach out to Dennis Woodruff, right?
Right. You heard this broadcast. I'm in the phone book. And if you want to send a donation to my house, 7712 West Norton Avenue, West Hollywood, California, 90046. It's a small house, and I will appreciate your donation. And for those who want to even be in my films, let me know. And no homeless actors who can't even afford a bus ticket. Don't come to Hollywood with no money and expect others to take care of you and you know, because you ran out of money. That's not the right way to do it.
Kind words this holiday season from Dennis Woodruff. For Matt Dillmore, Matt Alsberg, the entire Pussyfoot family, thank you again so much, Dennis.
And thank you, and God bless all of you, and may your dreams come true. If we can all work together, we can change the world and make it a better place.